So I promised you before the break that I was going to tell you my Tim Tebow story. Okay, so I was in Jacksonville. I must have been in my fourth or fifth year in the league, and I was sitting in the cold tub one day after practice with Gannon Shepard, who is this 6'8" offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. And Gannon's telling me about his girlfriend and like how he just met this girl and he wasn't so sure about like what's going to work out because he really liked her, but her father was a missionary and he was super religious and he wanted to meet with Gannon once a week to talk about his faith. So like serious stuff.
A little overboard.
he was on a schedule. So he's on a schedule. But look, she was a really, really great young woman.
Yeah.
Katie, I believe. And so Gannon liked her. So he kept meeting with the guy. And Gannon was a guy. You know, like it wasn't like Gannon's plans did not include going off to be a missionary or anything like that. Like when he was in college, it wasn't like he was an atheist or something, but he just wasn't like that necessarily. Yes. So he did. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, I don't know, man. That sounds like a little much. I think you got to rethink this. You got to keep your options open. And then he started telling me that, I just don't know. Like, it's kind of a weird family dynamic. Like, they homeschool their son, but he plays football. And they're acting like he's, like, this incredible thing and everything. And it's like, I don't know. Like, why are you homeschooling him? I'm like, oh, you got to get the hell out of there. What the hell? Gannon, this is ridiculous. This is stupid. This family sounds weird as hell. And lo and behold, I put two and two together like 7 years later. I'm like, oh, crap. That was Tim Tebow. The little homeschooled kid that he was talking about was Tim Tebow. So Gannon Shepard now is married to Tim Tebow's sister.
They ended
up getting married.
There we go.
I didn't get invited to the wedding after I like there strongly. We
strong. Well, I can understand that. You kind of almost ruined it.
I'm pretty sure you know what he did. He did the thing you're not supposed to do. It was like, I think he might have told her that like I was the.
He broke the bro code.
Hey, you know, Seth said that I shouldn't be
he
going out
with you.
He
broke the bro code. You can't do that, man. You can't do that.
No. You know what it was? Oh, this is what it was. I think they had split up for a little bit and then gotten back together, and I somehow messed up the story in my mind. So basically I was talking to him and I thought he had already broken up with Katie, and I was like, you know what, you're better off with her. I didn't like her at all anyway. He's like, actually that's who I'm with right now. Like, like I said, mostly
awkward.
All right, Clowny.
Yes.
I promise everybody I'm not gonna rehash the same old Clowny stuff, but I was thinking about it the other day. I was thinking about it yesterday because you asked me what it was like just for a defensive lineman or offensive lineman in training camp. Like, yeah, what's just the collisions,
it's
all that.
Different. Like, I don't know, you know, I'm thinking from a skill position standpoint, but from a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Like, do you need training camp? What's the timing because obviously if you're not at training camp, you're not going to find too many offensive linemen you can go against. And if you do, you're not going to be in full pads.
Right.
That's totally different. So what do you do? Is it a big deal?
There are a couple things. Is that one, there's some things in the way that you do your conditioning in the summer that I got smarter at over time. Like, by the time I was done in the NFL, I felt like I had actually like really figured out and nailed down the way you should be conditioning before training camp, I did a lot of like, I tried to simulate actual football plays.
Yes.
So like, instead of running wind sprints all day long, I would drive a sled 5 yards and turn and run and chase like I was chasing a screen.
Yeah.
And then I would do like 5 to 10 of those in a row with only 20 seconds rest in between each one to make it feel like harder than a game. Mm. Like, I wanted to make it harder than an actual practice or harder than an actual game. And that's when they talk about being in football shape. If all you do is run, then you're taking that resistance part out of it, where you're actually doing hand-to-hand combat before you run. So I would do that. So hopefully Clowny knows that much, that when he's done, it can't be just – when he's out – missing his time, it can't just be running gassers and stuff. It's got to be actual football drills. But the other is, and this is why I think he needs to be back by game three of the preseason, is that when you first return to practice, when everybody else is in football shape and everybody else has been practicing for a few weeks, on the defensive line especially, everything feels like you're like three levels above where you should be in a video game. Mm. Where all of a sudden you're playing in expert mode and you're not ready to. Everything's so fast and your brain needs time to adjust to that. Like, you're getting blindsided, you're not anticipating contact. So a couple things happen. One, you're not as good because just things aren't as crisp you know. Mm-hmm. But two, you're more prone to injury because one of the hardest things as a defensive lineman to do is to anticipate those blind side blocks, is to anticipate cut blocks, to do all those things. So for Clowney, like even for purely selfish reasons, like as a Texans fan, I want him to be back and I want him to be as good as possible,
right,
as soon as possible. But I hope that Clowney isn't feeling like, well, I need to preserve my body as much as possible to stay healthy. That's partially true, but really you still need to get in. If you want to not just stay healthy, but in this contract year, if you're going to play out under the franchise tag, you need to be as good as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, should sacks matter, you know, in terms of like, hey, is this guy a better pass rusher than that pass rusher? No, they shouldn't. Like, sacks don't tell the whole story. Clowney makes more plays behind the line of scrimmage when you combine sacks with it than Khalil Mack or anybody else. But they do matter. Like, they matter because perception matters. And whether GMs admit to it or not, like, there's something about the glitz of somebody that has a 15-sack season. So coming in and just those first few games, like, Clowney can't afford to write those off. He can't afford to just ease his way into the season. He needs to be awesome immediately, and he needs to stay healthy. So I would, like, I honestly, for his own sake, and then for my sake as a Texans fan, he needs to be there by game three.
So moving, so what I heard was he needs to get hit. He needs to be able to.
Yeah, that's a little bit of it.
As a D lineman, there's going to be things where you might not necessarily, like a guard pulling or somebody coming to chip you or just being aware, like mentally.
Yep.
Okay, knowing what's coming. And that comes slow when you naturally get back into it, right?
Yep. I remember Bryce Pop told me when I was a rookie, I asked him about this. Like, I think Bryce Pop said 2 weeks. You need 2 weeks to really get back to where you're more like yourself. You know, you see this in baseball. You know, like Springer comes back from injury.
Yeah.
Whenever Correa comes back from injury, it takes a while for them to get the timing and everything down. And it's like that. There's an old rule in football that the closer you get to the ball, the less reaction time there is.
Mm-hmm.
So Clowney at times is playing down as a three technique over the guard.
Yeah.
At times he's playing middle linebacker.
Yes.
Like he's
very close
to the football. So when you're close to the football like that, all the action is immediate.
Yes.
At the snap, you've got to make your read and it takes time. It just takes time to do it. So, yeah, that's the big part of it.
Now, let me ask you a question. With the schedule being how it is this year, and I'm saying the quarterbacks that they're playing and all the passing that can happen, does that give him a more of an opportunity? Because you're playing Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, Patrick Mahomes, Andrew Luck, Drew Brees. Does that give a pass rusher more of an opportunity to get sacks?
It does, in theory. It gives I think too negatively, because I'm like, yeah, but it also gives them time to not get sacks if the coverage isn't good behind them. You know what it does? It gives him time to actually make an impact. So, yeah, I'll speak from the Texans fan perspective, too, on this. Like, if you want Clowney back, you really want him out there versus Drew Brees. You really want him out there playing his best versus Phillip Rivers.
Mm.
But I guess Drew Brees especially. Like, you've got an opportunity to go play on turf.
Yeah.
In New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
You know, versus one of the best.
Monday night.
One of the best that's ever played on a Monday night.
Yeah.
Like, just if you're trying to maximize your value to the team and go out and get an actual big contract, primetime games matter. Like, buzz matters. I used to think that, I used to have an image of GMs that was probably higher than it should have been,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I wanted to think that everything was all scientific and everything was all very, like, analytical and everything. It's not with all of them. With some of them, it is. But all it takes is one or two teams to really get sucked into the glitz and the numbers and the glamour and everything, and that shine of, like actually seeing that guy play on Monday Night Football. And I think that's what Clowney is missing at this point in terms of what the narrative is about him. It's that if you've watched him closely over the last few years, man, there's times where this guy is an absolute force of nature.
Mm-hmm.
But there are enough people out there because of various things that were said about him when he was in college and whatnot that just they're holding back a little bit
yeah.
in how they look at him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I went back. I watched every snap he played his last year at college. And I'm sitting there waiting to see where his motor issues were. Like, I'm sitting there waiting. I'm watching every single snap.
And you're a D-lineman.
I'm
so
a
D-lineman.
Yes, I know what guy. I know what it looks like when guys don't play hard.
Yes.
And I know what it looks like when guys do play hard. And I'm sitting there. I'm watching this. And I'm like, I need to see this lack of a motor or lack of energy that people are talking about because I'm not seeing it. And it was driving me crazy because I'd see guys get up on camera and show, like, two or three low light reels. But I'm like, all right, I'm watching a guy who's playing college offenses that are running 90 snaps a game, and they're getting rid of the ball quickly. I see him working hard and playing hard the whole time. Mm-hmm. There's times where he had injury issues where you could tell it was bothering him. And that's what I would say the entire time in the NFL. It drives me nuts. I hear people talk about how he doesn't play hard or something, and then like you turn on the film, and he's running 30 yards downfield.
Chasing people down.
Chasing down wide receivers. And it drives me absolutely insane.
Yeah.
So, like, for his own benefit and for somebody, whether it's the Texans themselves or somebody else, to be able to say, hey, yeah, we're giving this guy a boatload of money.
Yeah.
Like, that supreme, like, ridiculous stat-padded season is probably a necessity. I wonder, too... I guess, like, sometimes people slap the franchise tag on somebody, and I guess after Le'Veon Bell, everybody wonders if somebody's going to hold out over and over again. I don't think the Le'Veon Bell thing is going to become a standard,
standard
practice.
That's rare.
But it is rare for a guy to play the second year under the franchise tag. You know, they did it with Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins was kind of happy to do it.
Well, I mean, that's a different type of money.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a different type of money. Quarterback money is, I think he got a guaranteed, what, 24 and 25 million, somewhere in that back-to-back years?
And the chance of season or career-ending injury isn't as high either.
No, not
like
at all.
An injury that's, like a quarterback can tear his ACL and it's not going to affect his.
Right.
Well, let's see. Defensive linemen, it'll affect their, it usually wouldn't affect their value, but with Clowney, it would because he's got that injury history.
Yep.
So, like, Clowney can't afford to have a really, really bad injury because I think that's going to just add to that narrative.